Tomorrow is the deadline for candidates to qualify for the next Democratic presidential debate on September 12th. So far, 10 candidates have met the qualifying standards, which are registering at least 2% in 4 qualifying polls and collecting donations from at least 130,000 individuals. If no one else qualifies, there will be just one debate night this time around. Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He joins us now. Julian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So we're still a few months away from the first votes being cast, but it looks like the Democratic field is already narrowing itself a bit.
It's narrowing, but it's still very fluid and competitive. You have a clear front runner. Some of the bottom candidates are dropping off. But then in that second slash first tier, Bernie Sanders, Senator Warren, Harris and others, you have people who have a viable path to the nomination. So this will be about New Hampshire and Iowa and Super Tuesday to determine where things stand.
The latest poll out this week from Monmouth University essentially shows a three-way tie among Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, all at about 20% among Democratic voters. Do these results reflect the debate Democratic voters are having about electability in that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are very different kinds of candidates and where the Democratic Party is on who they think can beat Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think one poll always needs to be treated with some skepticism. But
although they are the front runners, yeah.
Yeah, and it also reflects what we've seen certainly with Senator Warren. Her trajectory has been upward. I think electability is a vague and ambiguous concept. So if you make that the centerpiece of the Democratic nomination, which it is at this point, it's going to open the door to many different kind of candidates explaining what that might be. And so I think that's part of what makes things difficult for Biden to totally secure his status going into Iowa.
I want to take a moment and look back and reflect with you about something that was happening in Chicago at the Democratic Convention 51 years ago this week. Here's some sound from the news coverage back then.
Police formed into a wedge, waded in, and the battle was on.
1968 police anti-war protesters, full-scale riot all over television. The Democrats then were terribly divided. I think we hear so much about divisions today, but when I hear that and look back, I think, doesn't seem so bad today.
No, the divisions within the Democratic Party were much greater back in 1968. You had the normal division between Southern conservatives and Northern liberals, but then the war in Vietnam, as well as race relations, had opened up huge fissures within the Democratic Party. And in the 1968 convention, those were on television. They were front and center for everyone to see. And so there were real divisions over what to do in Vietnam, as opposed to what are often more strategic divisions today about how to achieve common goals.
What does history tell us about incumbent presidents running for re-election? And what's your assessment of where President Trump is sitting right now in terms of those historical parallels?
Well, the odds for incumbents, especially when the economy is strong, are very good. They often go on to be reelected. There are some exceptions, such as Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush, both who had weak economies and who had divided political parties. So there is a way in which President Trump follows in that trajectory, especially if the economy goes southward. But Democrats should be wary. Incumbents have a lot of tools, especially when their party is united behind them.
One issue that does continue to divide Democrats is the question of impeachment. We've spoken with you before about this issue. There's a new story in Politico that says members of Congress who have spent weeks back at home over the August break are being grilled by constituents about the issue of impeachment at town halls this summer. The story says pro-impeachment sentiment might be hard for Democrats to ignore. Do you think the mood has shifted on impeachment?
Well, certainly support among Democrats within the House has expanded in terms of those who support impeachment proceedings. We've seen the numbers go up, but the divisions are there. I think what makes it hard for Speaker Pelosi and for those who are hesitant about moving forward is that they agree on the case, meaning they agree there's an impeachment case to be made. They're arguing pragmatically this isn't the time to do it, while supporters of the impeachment process have a moral fervor that will continue to keep them at the grassroots and to keep them out there on the campaign trail throughout the next few months. So it's going to be hard for Speaker Pelosi to contain this.
What about the argument, though, that she and others make that moving forward with impeachment, even if the politics are there, will ultimately end without a conviction? As long as Senate Republicans are in control, the idea that they would convict the president seems like a fantasy.
Well, she has to decide. Does she want Democrats to go on record about what they think the president has been doing? And maybe that's a reason enough to move forward rather than just thinking about the conviction and force Republicans to take a stand. Do they support the president and what he's done or don't they? So that's the counterargument to the speaker.
Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. As always, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.